I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Official name, Mike Emmerich, known as Doc Emmerich, not just because it's cute, but because he has a PhD in communications from Bowling Green State University. Doc, good to have you with us. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. Good to have you here.
It's hey, Doc. Good to talk to you guys. Once stayed in North Olmsted with my brother because the Browns were having a doubleheader preseason game at Old Municipal Stadium. The first game was St. Louis and the Giants, and the second game was the Browns and the Vikings. I wish I could tell you that the stadium was full, but it was preseason. But I'll never forget. It was in North Olmsted, and we took the bus in and saw the Browns play. I think it was in the 1960s. So anyway, I'm very familiar with at least the area where your sponsor is.
Very nice.
So wait, your brother
we were from
lived
near
in North Olmsted?
Fort Wayne. What's right. that?
Was your brother living in North Olmsted at the time?
Is that no, we. We were Browns fans. We were Browns fans in the Eastern Conference, and we cared about the Bears and the Browns because we were from near about 40 miles from Fort Wayne, and those were the two teams that we could get on television. Ken Coleman was the broadcaster for the Browns, and Red Grange was the broadcaster for the Bears.
Wow.
That's how old I am.
You'll never be old.
It was a good time. We loved those two teams, and we watched them every Sunday because games were at that time, everybody played Sunday at 1.
Wow. Doc, did you stay on and be a Browns fan after that? Are you still a Browns-Bears fan?
Yeah, pretty much. Although because of the latency of those two teams ever since those power years, why, you know, my fandom is kind of dwindled, because when you get into hockey, which I've been into now for 47 years, your ability to watch Sunday afternoon or whenever they play, it just wanes because you're so immersed in what you're doing that you don't get a chance to really sit down and watch games anymore. So with that, it tends to just go away. So ever since my college years, I haven't really followed the two teams that closely.
Good to have you, Doc, here, nonetheless, with that North Olmsted story. That's terrific.
That made
our day.
There was a little motel out there near the turnpike, and that was where we stayed. And then there was a bus service that came out there, and we took the bus in and took the bus back. It was funny what you remember, but it was North Olmsted where we were.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That is awesome.
That was before 480, too. You get probably to take the long road in. Hey, look, before we get into hockey and some stuff, I just want to ask you about – going to Miami and then getting your doctorate at Bowling Green and you know, getting your master's from Miami. I'm sure Bowling Green probably because it was close to home, but I mean, you've got that great Mid-American Conference tie for us too.
Yeah, it was all of a means to an end. From the time I saw my first hockey game at age 14 in Fort Wayne, I wanted to be a hockey announcer. Before then, it was baseball. Well, it was a matter of trying to get the experience necessary. And where do you get experience when you grow up in a town that resembles the town of the Hickory Huskers? It was during the 1950s, and our town was 600 people. There were 13 celebrities in town, the coach and the 12 members of the varsity. So it was all basketball. And after I'd graduated from an undergraduate school in Indiana called Manchester, I had no experience in television whatsoever. But Miami University had grad assistantships, and with that you could get some TV experience. So I applied for one and fortunately got one. So directly out of undergrad, I went in the one-year master's program at Miami. And because it was an hour from Dayton, and Dayton had a wonderful IHL team that was going to win a championship that year called the Gems, I had a credential with the university station at Miami, and I drove to the Gems games and sat in the press box and met as many people as possible and covered the team. And, of course, I would sit in the corner in Fort Wayne and broadcast the game to myself and record it and try to make some sense of what I was doing. Send those tapes out to all the minor league teams that moved, and remarkably, none of them gave me a job. So after that 1 year, I needed to work. And there was a place in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, that needed someone to teach speech. So I'm trying to make this quick for you. I accepted that job there because they were close to Pittsburgh. I went to the evening newspaper there and said, I'll cover the Penguins for free if you get me a pass. They did. So while I was teaching, I covered the Pittsburgh Penguins. After 2 years there, I realized that hockey might not work for me. So I better get the advanced degree because I could earn $600 a year more teaching at Geneva if I had a doctorate. So I applied at a couple of schools, and Bowling Green offered me the second period of the Falcon hockey games if I went there and taught some classes and worked on my doctorate. And after 2 years of coursework, I eventually got the degree and wrote the dissertation. But after 2 years of coursework, I sent out a tape of one of my Bowling Green games and got my first job in pro hockey. So that, I hope that's not too long, but that's how it all happened, that I wound up with those two great MAC schools. And my 1 year at Miami was Bo Schembechler's last year as coach there.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's awesome. And Doc, it's interesting to hear, you know, because people think sometimes these gigs just happen for people, and it did anything but just happen for you. You had to lay the groundwork for a career and then just continually work your way up to where you are now. And I don't think a lot of young folks who get into our business want to hear that anymore. And, you know, I had to do it. Andy had to do it. You had to do it. It's kind of fun along the way if you're willing to go ahead and make some sacrifices.
Yeah, you're right. You know, there's a guy named John Cooper that coached the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was going over his career with him. And he was smiling all the way because he coached down in Texas, the Texarkana Jackalopes, I think they were called. And they got moved out of their arena every year when the rodeo came in, and then they had to go practice in Arkansas. But he won a championship with them, and then he wound up in Green Bay, and he won a championship there, and then he went to the American League, and he won a championship there. And he said, I guess I'm like everybody else. I worked 18 years to become an overnight success. And that's kind of the way it is with all of us. But he had a smile on his face as he heard about every stop as I was reciting it for him. And that's kind of the way it is. If it's not fun, you get out long before you get to that point. And it has been a lot of fun along the way. And, we all have stories from – and if we had a lot more time, and I asked you to talk about a weird thing that happened in your first job, and had both of you do that, and then I told you one of mine, we'd probably go past the half hour or the hour and blow off the newscast and several commercials, so we can't do it. But those would be funny stories, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
that's why we both got out of news.
Exactly.
So we don't have to listen to the newscast anymore.
Yeah, my first job was $1.25 an hour. I don't know how much you guys made, but mine was in high school at a daytime station where they signed off at local sunset, and it was $1.25 an hour.
Wow.
But that was minimum wage then, so they weren't cheating me.
$25 a game for me, Doc, as a color analyst on Kent State football.
Oh, very good. Were you there before George Paterno?
Must have been.
Yeah, that was Penn State or Kent State?
Oh, no, Kent. Kent, I'm sorry.
Oh, Kent State, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, George was at Penn State, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Another Mac guy. That's us.
Doc, you know, before I get to the NHL, and before I want to talk about what we might see in the NHL, just your thoughts on Columbus and what the franchise has done since they've come back, or since they – came into the NHL, because it was funny you were telling me that when you were just talking about the rodeo story, I used to, when I was in Columbus, the Chill had to leave for the circus because they used to play at the old fairground, so they couldn't play playoff games there. And I think about where Columbus has come as an NHL city from, you know, from those days in the ECHL to where they are right now?
Well, I remember the days when I was in the IHL in Port Huron in 1973, and we used to come in to play a team called the Owls. And the Owls were the Owls. They were, there were, most of the guys were over 6 feet. It was the 70s when the Bruins and the Flyers were winning championships on toughness. And Mo Bartoli, who was not a large guy, but was a player coach for the old Checkers who played at the fairgrounds, was the coach of the team, and he believed in having a tough team. There was a guy named Blake Ball who was in the movie Slapshot who played defense for the Checkers, and he had been suspended at one time during that one season that the Checkers were there. They eventually, or the Owls were there. They eventually moved to Grand Rapids, and then the Chill came on after that, or maybe it was the Seals. I don't know, but at any rate, the Coliseum was a wonderful place to go, even though it wasn't necessarily homey. It had a lot of character, and it had plastic-coated wire all around the rink, not glass. But where this franchise has come since the franchise was granted, I'll never forget going to a town center, and they allowed me to come down and host the press conference when they introduced the logo and Stinger. And they had a high school band there. And where this team has come from since that time, there was quite a great celebration when they made the playoffs for the very first time. And then, of course, when they wound up eliminating John Cooper's Tampa Bay Lightning in four straight games and becoming a real credible factor. And when we hit the pause button, they were within striking distance of a playoff berth. And you know, technically, if you figure points percentage, they probably weren't in. But it looks as though, if you believe what you read, that the league really does want to finish the regular season, if there's time to do it, and when they eventually come back. And if that's the case, there's no reason to think that the Blue Jackets can't dominate and can't come back and make it in and be a factor. But they've become very important in the community, and that's one thing that from their very first year, in 2000, the Blue Jackets have been, and that is important to the community. They always did that, whether their team was good or whether it wasn't. And from that very first game that they played, that opening night, and I was invited back to it to introduce the starting lineup against Chicago, they have been a key factor in the pulse beat of downtown Columbus. I always thought it was interesting that when Christoph Oliver or Lyle Line or any of those old line Blue Jackets were sent to the penalty box, that they were sitting in the same incarceration, roughly in the same plot of ground that O'Henry and all of those other people had to do time in an Ohio State penitentiary. But that's just historical.
I always wanted them to call it the prison when they first started, just because for the folks that don't know here in Cleveland, that they built Nationwide Arena, it's basically on the grounds of the old Ohio State prison that was down there. So I don't know that everybody knows that. By the way, Eli Gold was on with us yesterday, and he wanted us to tell you hello, and he had so many great stories and so many great things to say about you, the Alabama play-by-play man. So he was very flattering and had very, very nice things to say, and he wanted to make sure that we said hi to you today for him.
Yeah, I wonder how many rings he has now.
More than fingers?
That's a good question.
Yeah, more than fingers, I'll bet. Yeah, more than fingers and thumbs put together. Maybe he's got those national championship rings on his toes now. Yeah, that's wonderful. I appreciate your sending along salutations from him. That's great. You know, the Indians have had a really good year during the last month that I've been watching. I've seen Charlie Sheen strike out Pete Vukovich four times. And, you know, I keep thinking, with ownership like that, I'm amazed that the Indians have done so well. I wish they would force her out. But the thing that I would like to see is if Charlie would actually hit Pete on the shoulder and the benches would empty. But I guess that's just my hockey background. I'd like to see that at least once in the concluding inning of the film.
Doc, thank you so much. We appreciate it. But I want to ask you, do you think we're going to play hockey again here? What are your thoughts, just before I let you go?
Well, it's uncertain, and we keep waiting for the NHL to make an announcement, and we're probably going to wait for a while yet. you know that this league is very smart, and from the time they hit the pause button, they had plans B, C, D, and E, depending on how soon it was going to be safe. And so we're just waiting on the safety measures to come to the point where it's safe for the players, first of all, and whether it's going to be safe for the fans right away, we're probably it's not going to be in full arenas, but we sure hope so, because we miss the game a lot. But there are more important considerations right now, and so we just have to stay in the background and wait.
Doc, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. And anytime you're in Cleveland, you know you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you in the studio, or if you just want us to take you out for a drink or dinner, we'd love to do that anytime you come through Cleveland. Thank you, Doc.
Isn't that kind of you? Thank you so much. And I guess maybe I'll come directly downtown, and I won't have to look for that bus from North Olmsted.
No, keep rooting for the Indians in Major League Two. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Doc.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Doc Emrick, the voice of the National Hockey League. That was fun.
That was awesome.
You okay now?
It's just a treat because you should see, I mean, my buddies are killing me on what is this, what's going on here, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're talking to one of the greatest voices in sports of all time. And obviously we've got a little bit of time to do some stuff like this. So, I don't know. I was pumped. That was cool. And I'm sure anybody that's ever watched a hockey game on NBC or has ever heard his voice before will appreciate it. Plus, he's got all these Ohio ties. I mean, he's just from the other side of the border in Indiana. So, I enjoyed it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.